Welcome to Through the Bible with Dr. Troy Walls. Today's Bible lesson is Fellowshipping with God. Fellowshipping with God. I have always supported soul winning and have been a soul winner for many years, but our number one priority is not to be a soul winner. Now that sounds strange, don't it? Our number one priority should be to fellowship with the Lord. We cannot spend too much quiet time with God. We cannot fellowship too much with the Lord. Think about it. If everyone fellowshiped with the Lord the way that we're supposed to, there would be no revivals. We would already be revived. I want you to look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20. This is what it says. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called. You know, we live in a time where apostasy has taken over. Paul experienced apostasy in his time. But in the day we live, right is wrong and wrong is right. We live in an upside down world. My Bible says God destroyed people in times past for promoting the exact same thing. Paul said the model church was not sitting in Rome, but was in Judea. He had reason for that. Let me give you an example. Did you know evolution is exalted above the Word of God? You have so-called Christians that believe that bunch of hogwash. There are a lot of facts that disprove evolution, but yet it is taught in almost every public school in America. That is because humanists believe it. They want to believe that they are their own God. I'm reminded of a solar eclipse I witnessed in my front yard one time. I heard every scientific explanation in the world, but you never heard about it. A word about how a holy God was responsible for that eclipse. Even though the sun is over 92 million miles from the moon and 400 times bigger, the outline of the moon fits perfectly inside the sun. When I was looking at it, it showed me the majesty of a holy God. But somehow during our lifetime, our recognition of that majesty has slipped away. What have many Christians done? They try to reconcile the Bible to fit evolution. That could explain why we live in a society that acts like a bunch of animals. They think they come from one, so why not act like one? Back in Paul's day, if you were not in the elite club, you were just ignorant spiritually. The truth is that the elite was ignorant, because they took their Greek philosophy and incorporated it into Christianity. In other words, it became apostate. And we are dealing with the same thing today. Every heresy we have today come from the first 350 years of the church age. We have that going on today through the Gnostics, who say that Jesus was created. That is what the Bible calls science falsely so-called. Christians need to be aware of this. And the best way to be aware of this is to study to show thyself approved. The Lord knows who belongs to him. Whoever names the name of Christ, let him depart from iniquity. In Paul's time, he had a bunch of Sadducees who denied there was a resurrection. That is where all the power took place. In the resurrection. We have people today that have a hard time believing in the Trinity, the power, the resurrection, that the Lord was God in the flesh. Instead, they want to spiritualize everything. Let me share with you the problem. We don't like what the Bible says. People want to change it to suit themselves. God wrote a literal book to be taken literally. Anytime you hear a man say, well, I think God meant this or mean that. I think it's interpreted this way or that way. Then man is claiming to be smarter than God. They spiritualize revelation because they're not smart enough to teach it. We cannot add to what the Bible does not say. Paul said to shun those that would spiritualize the scripture away. It will destroy your faith, making it a shipwreck. I want to read you a verse out of the book of Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. The Bible says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." I had a man ask me one time in a soul winning booth. He said, "What is your philosophy of life?" I looked at him and said, "Who cares? It does not matter what I think. What matters is what God says." We live in a time of great apostasy. We live in a time when so-called Christians do not even know what Bible to use. Some think that all Bibles are alike. Now, there might be a scholar somewhere that says, "Oh, no, here comes that King James nut." You know what I say to that? Thank you for noticing. When we turned our backs on his book, he sent a famine. England turned their backs on the Word of God in 1881 when they published the Revised Version, and God sent a famine. Less than 2% of the people in England attend church, and out of the number of people that attend church, what is the percentage of those that are saved? The average church in England is used as a granary or a place to store grain. America turned her back on the book in 1901 with the printing of the American Standard Version, and the apostasy set in. And it is still here in year 2022. Did you know that a person cannot be saved if they do not believe the Word of God? Did you know that? You say, "Well, how do you get that?" You do not get saved apart from the Word of God. The Word of God is the seed that gives you a new birth, according to 1 Peter chapter 1. We live in a time of where apostasy has taken over, but we still know who is in control and who wins in the end. Even if those that spread the word have to double up on their efforts, it'll be worth it after all. We have people today within the church that do not understand the history of the Bible. They pervert the truth. They teach that the King James is just another translation. They absolutely do not know what they're talking about. It's not just a translation. It is the words of God. They say there are other translations. No, there are not other translations. There are translations of other manuscripts. This is the only Bible in English that you will get your hands on that is a translation of the Word of God in Greek, the Textus Receptus, or the Hebrew, or the Masoretic text. This is the only one you're going to get. Some that pervert the scripture say that some translations are closer to the originals than the King James Bible. There are a couple of problems with that logic. In the first place, how would they know since they never saw the originals? How can you prove something was closer to something else if you never saw that something else? We will never see them because they don't exist. It might be closer to Westcott and Hort Greek text than King James, but because the King James is not translated from the Westcott and Hort text. That's why the King James Bible differs from the American Standard Bible in 36,000 places. They came from two different sets of manuscripts, God's manuscripts and the devil's manuscripts. The only advice I can give to the church today is to obey God and study to show thyself approved, a workman that needs not to be ashamed. Our goal should be to grow spiritually, especially for the believer. If the non-believer has a desire to improve his life, He can from a biblical perspective and the right spirit, the Holy Spirit, the eternal spirit. And that will not come from Buddha or Islam or the Mormons or the Jehovah's Witness, Pentecostals, or any other cult. But it will come from the one and only true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And to grow in the Lord, a person must be in the correct scripture. Do a thorough history of the Authorized King James, and you will find out it is the Word of God given to the English-speaking people that has also been translated in languages around the world. Here is a big problem with society today. There are good educated scholars in the Word of God, but the church also needs to keep in mind there are many scholars that have a positional problem. Now, what do I mean by that? They believe the Bible is subject to them. In other words, they are above the Bible by their intellect. True Christians are to subject themselves to the Bible or the Bible above them. We have to be in the right position with the Scriptures. Respect and honor God's Word because it is life and it is communication from a holy God how you can attain eternal life. The more you study the Scriptures, the closer to God you will be, and things that were unclear will become clear with prayer. I like what John said about digesting the Word. It is food for your life, food that can produce eternal good. I want to read you a verse out of the book of Psalms, chapter 30, verse 8. Psalms chapter 30, verse 8. The Bible said, "Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food convenient for me." The Holy Word is food convenient for our souls. So God created man and placed him in a perfect environment. Would man be obedient and fulfill God's will, or would he become disobedient? God had to put man to the test. He had to give man a choice. God could have forced Adam and Eve to always obey him, but that would be against his nature. God wanted man to love him and enjoy serving him, so a choice was given to him, a free will, you might say. Rather than populate the entire universe at once with newly created humans, God, in his infinite wisdom, placed one man and his wife in a garden and gave them a choice, and you know the story. Adam and Eve chose to disobey God by eating of the forbidden fruit in Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Satan's ways seemed more pleasant at the moment, so man fell into sin by disobeying God. Worst of all, man lost the image of God. God was still holy, but man had failed the test. He was unholy. Man was now the transgressor against God. In his sinful condition, Adam could not carry out God's divine plan. He was no longer qualified, for he was now a sinner. At this point, God could have chosen to destroy his creation and start with a new one, or he could redeem the fallen creation. He chose to redeem fallen man. He chose to set forth a master plan that would allow man to become righteous once again. Being the merciful God that he is, God chose to work out a wonderful redemption plan for a fallen man. But wait, this will be no easy plan because Adam and his wife aren't the only sinners. Every child born after Genesis chapter 3 had been born in Adam's sinful image, according to Genesis chapter 5, verse 3. All men are natural sinners upon being born into the world. The Bible says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned," in Romans 5:12. Bible said, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Psalm 51:5. As it is written, "There is none righteous, no, not one." Romans 3:10. Men are no longer made in God's image. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ himself said, ye are of your father the devil, in John 8:44. God is not a sinner, so sinners are not God's children. Sinners are natural born children of the devil. Paul writes in Ephesians 2:2 that lost sinners are children of disobedience. Why? Because we naturally receive a sin nature at birth. In addition to this, we must also realize that we cannot rid ourselves of this corrupt sin nature. We are stuck with a fallen image of the unrighteousness. Unless God works a miracle in our lives, we are absolutely hopeless, forever doomed to the eternal fires of hell. We cannot earn our salvation by performing righteous works because our righteousness is no good. Isaiah 64:6 tells us that our righteousness is like filthy rags. Instead of being clean in the eyes of God, men are filthy because of the sin nature in us all. God is holy, but we are unholy. He is godly, but we are ungodly. He is righteous, but we are unrighteous. Our sin nature stands like a brick wall between us and God, separating us from his dear fellowship. Now try comparing a holy God with unholy men. Contrast the two in your mind. You see, there must be a separation. Just as you keep your clean laundry separate from dirty laundry, God must keep himself separate from ungodly man. God is not a sinner, so he cannot fellowship with sinners. Unless sin is somehow removed from man, there is no hope. Unless man is somehow redeemed from his fallen nature, God has no choice but to sentence him to hell forever. The sin debt must be paid so that man can regain his original righteous image and his fellowship with God. Someone must pay the price. And who paid that price? Jesus Christ on the cross. I want to ask you one more question before I close here. Are you 100% sure that you're going to go to heaven? If you're 35%, 50%, 75%, or even 99% sure, that's not going to work. If you're 99% sure you're going to go to heaven, that's not going to work. You have to 100% know for sure that you're going to go to heaven. I heard a man tell me in a soul winner booth one time, he said, "I don't know if anybody knows for sure that you're going to heaven." Well, God wants you to know. According to 1 John 5:13, he says that ye may know that ye have eternal life. But this is the first thing you got to do. First of all, you got to recognize that you're a sinner. Once you recognize that you're a sinner, then you have to repent of that sin. That means give it up. You can repent 1,000 times, won't do you one bit of good until you give it up. Then you have to believe that Jesus Christ is who he said he was, the Son of God, who came and died for our sins and was put in a tomb, and 3 days later rose from the dead to be at the right hand of the Father for all eternity. We have to believe that in our heart. And that's how you can become what the Bible calls being born again or being saved. That's the simplest way I know to explain salvation. And we all go the same way. There's only one way we can go to heaven, through Jesus Christ, through his blood. No other way. We can never do enough good things to get to heaven. We could never be good enough to get to heaven on our own. The only way we're going to get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. and the shedding of his blood. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I hope you enjoyed. Till next time, Dr. Troy Wall signing off.